Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us tonight. Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast features an in-depth Bible study each week. This show is not a call-in show and we do not accept calls. We also do not correspond through social media and ask that you would send all correspondence and inquiries of the broadcast of the WIBR Warn Radio Network to be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com, and we thank you for that. Today is Thursday, July 25th, 2019, and our scripture reading for this week is found in Numbers chapter 30, verses 1 through chapter 32, verse 42, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 3, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 51, and Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook.com, /Watchman IS216, on Instagram.com/Warn Radio, on Twitter.com/Warn Radio, also /Watchman IS216, and on LinkedIn, it's Watchman. You can listen to all our shows by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com, and Warn Radio is now on Blog Talk. We're also on Spreaker, iTunes, TuneIn, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. So there's a number of avenues that you can reach the program on. Be sure to follow the articles, to be sure to read the articles by the Watchman. They're very pertinent for this day and age we're living in. And you can read those by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Be sure to pass them along to your friends so they can be educated as well. The articles we're featuring this week are National Sins, Sighing and Crying. National sins are evident. Does anyone really care? Is anyone in the church in Hollywood and Washington concerned about the prevalent rebellion going on in America? Here we discuss the mark of Christ. We look at the sighing and crying for the sins of a nation. Yes, grieving and seeking God over the national sins of the nation called America. Also, visions of sugar plum and socialism. Yes, everyone has visions. The prophet, the priest, the king, and many of today's purveyors of change. There is no doubt some visions of change, like the Wright brothers and their airplanes, changed the world. We have had many such people who, through their visions and strength, continue to mark the history of mankind with great inventions. Tonight on Battle Lines, the Watchman teaches on Peace, Prince of Peace, Isaiah's prophetic book, Part 11. Prince of Peace. In the midst of Isaiah's prophecy, we find hope for Israel after the judgment. Yet it contains prophecy of a miraculous event that would occur in the future. Contained in the prophecies and fulfilling scripture, the greater Son of David is foretold. And before I welcome in the Watchman, here is a word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight? And welcome
in.
I'm doing good.
How are you doing?
Doing great. I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm looking forward to the teaching tonight.
Yeah, I like Isaiah. It's
me
a
too.
Big book. He said a lot of stuff.
It is.
But you know, as I look out and see that we are just days away from August, I wonder what happened to our summer.
I don't know. It just seems like time went extraordinarily fast, faster than usual.
Well, you know, we were sitting here in January talking about spring, and now we're sitting here looking at fall. You know,
and the W
just,
word.
Yeah, I know. I just can't believe how fast time goes.
Oh, I know, me either.
Well, you know, and it's not like we're sitting around all day doing nothing either. We are really, really busy. And
yeah.
Today, I'm doing all the grammatics and all the breakdown and the structures of the chapters I have done in our new book.
For your new book, yeah.
And I've got to get that done so I can get it out to my proofreader, as well as I've got another copy to send out to someone else I'm working with. But it's just a lot of work. It takes hours. And then, of course, when you're working on the websites and writing articles and doing shows, it's hard to get everything done.
I know.
Because it takes a lot when we're talking about editing these things. You're looking at so many different aspects. Because we look at grammar and structure and style, stickiness, and a lot of other things. Just a lot of stuff here that, you know, you got to do. And it's really not, this is the work of it. You know, the writing is the fun, and then you got to go through this. This is, you know, it's not as hard as having teeth pulled, but it is just my least favorite part of it.
I know.
But there is a challenge in order to get all this worked out.
Life is a challenge. There's always something.
There is. And let's see, I looked at a little bit of the news today and went through our stuff, and, you know, there wasn't nothing much. Everybody talking about the Democrats interviewing Mueller. The overriding consensus from both Democrats and Republicans was that Mueller didn't do very well. However, Schiff and some of the hardline leftists, you know, tried to put a good face on it and say that Mueller did his job and gave us what we needed. So there, you know, there's some of them that are in the House that are dead set to impeach Trump no matter what.
Yeah.
So, you know, the bottom line of it is there is another investigation going on. I don't know how that's doing. You never hear from it. It's not in the news. But there is somebody else online And the one that has been coming up a lot in conjunction with Mueller is Epstein, who is in prison. And, of course, you came home today and told me that somebody had told you something about that.
Yeah. That was last week. They told me that they didn't think he'd survive prison. And then there was they found him in his cell, apparently. Had maybe attempted suicide.
Well, whether he did or not, he's on suicide watch now.
Yeah.
But, you know, this guy lived the lifestyle of a king. He had I don't know how he got his money, but he had a lot of 14 and 15 year old girls come over to his big estate. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that. I have no idea what that was all about. I don't know nothing about it.
Well, that's just what some of the news are saying about it. I've seen pictures of the estate.
Well, didn't you tell me that it burned?
I have no idea. The pictures I see.
Somebody told me that island.
I don't know. I'm not following it that close.
Yeah, I'm not either. Maybe it was the same person I talked to. I don't know. I'm not too interested to tell you the truth.
Yeah, you know, anything Mueller has to say has already been said, and anything the Democrats say is probably not new. So I'm not really following much of it at all. I could care less what they're doing over there. I don't think anything will come of it. I believe every bit of it's going to get thrown to the ground. None of it will do anything. I think the real criminals, though, are out there. And, you know, whether or not anybody is really going to find the truth, that's another thing.
Yeah. Who knows?
So, at any rate, we are here towards the end of the month. It's been warm here, not real, real, real hot, but warm for us. And we have gotten some moisture because the river out here has been high and muddy, so I don't know where all that moisture is coming from.
Well,
because
we haven't
got much of it, but there's been clouds about every night. So at any rate, you want to follow us, you can follow us on Instagram. Instagram, we have a lot of interesting people that put stuff on it that we have followed. A lot of them, not all of it has to do with, the show that we do. We're on there, but we follow Gundry, who has lifestyle and a deliverance, he is a world-famous heart surgeon, and a lot of his stuff has to do with health. We have Perlmutter, again, the doctor of health. We have a lot of these. We do have a lot of parks, a lot of everything. Our Instagram feed is really an information feed. It has a lot of things on it. We are on it. We have a few others that we follow that have some teachings and things, but not a lot of them. And I don't spend a lot of time finding people to follow. Our Facebook pages are always having people wanting to friend us. And people continue to try to send me messages through Messenger. I am not on Messenger. I will never be on Messenger. You want to get a hold of me, you need to go through our websites. If you can't do that, then you don't need to talk to me. It's as simple as that. that's how you get a hold of us. And so at any rate, our show last night went pretty good, the advocacy show. Tower and I particularly talked about what Jerry Golden had to say. And that was kind of run-of-the-mill for Jerry, because from time to time I pick up some of the stuff he says when he's looking at America, and he gives you a glance from Israel what it looks like. I know what it looks like from where I sit, and it's not very good. So that was interesting, and covered a lot of people that were persecuted. We have ongoing countries that we discuss, but there are a lot of people facing persecution today. So remember them in your prayers. And so, at any rate, I think what we will do, we will go ahead and start this. You got anything you have to?
I'm good. Thank you. Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
You're good?
I am.
I'll make note of that. She's been good. And she is good.
Yeah. Sometimes. Sometimes.
My dog's good too, but sometimes she can be a little busy about certain things. So at any rate, we are in Isaiah's prophetic book, part 11.
Okay,
and,
I'll see you on the other side.
Yep. And we had left off at Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. I like this phrase, land of the shadow of death. That shadow of death literally means shade of death, literally, or even referring to a calamity. And upon them has the light shine. And I always find it really amazing how a lot of our prophecies are intertwined within Scripture. And so upon them hath the light, that's illumination, luminary. Now, you know, if you do any graphics and you get into the 3D and a lot of other stuff where you deal with light, there's a lot of different ways to shine light on a graphic to make it appear. So when we talk about light, it's just not a standard light like you would have in your house. This is illumination. In every sense of the word, luminary, when we talk of a luminary, we can talk of somebody that is really important. So this light is not an ordinary light. It can also mean brightness or happiness, but, you know, if you are... you know, most of the time we find people, if they're in weather that is bad or cloudy or gray, they're not as happy. If they get the sun out, they're happier. So, you know, people tend to be more happy on blue skies and beautiful days, unless it's really, really hot. So the idea of light here is very, very life-giving. So the people that walked in darkness, and of course Isaiah here is talking to the children of Israel. He's been given a prophecy of judgment now for all 9 chapters. And mixed in with that is the coming Messiah, which we're going to be getting into. But in the Messianic passages, many of the, you know, the apostles and stuff referred to a lot of these phrases. because when we talk about the shadow of death, America has seen the shadow of death. Many nations walk in darkness even today. And many nations that, like China, North Korea, Pakistan, India, Syria, that there's a lot of, and they consider the light of the gospel an enemy. It's very important to know that in the midst of all of this, where we live today, the nations are in darkness. And even though they claim to have their own light, they don't have the true light. And that's what we need to have. And this is where the rub falls when we talk about, prophecy, when we talk about the Savior, when we talk about the belief. And as a matter of fact, that's what Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians 2, when he refers to the society that we find, which is lawless, where we're in it now. We've actually been in it for quite some time now. And that lawlessness gives way to the man of lawlessness, the false one of lawlessness. And Paul calls him the son of destruction, the son of perdition. And he comes as a result of a delusion upon the people because they rejected the love of the truth, which is God's love, and the love of his son. And his son so loved us that he came. So when we see people walking in darkness, we see the shadow of death, we can apply all of those to us today, as we can apply them to Israel, who literally did walk in darkness. They had forsaken the truth. They should have known the truth, but they didn't know the truth. Even Moses, one of the last sermons he spoke to him in Deuteronomy, he told him that they would fall away, and they did. There's prophecies to that fact about when you fall away. There's prophecies that the Lord put in there in Deuteronomy that speaks of the fact that the children of Israel falling away and what he's going to do. So it's an amazing process, prophecy here. And even in Israel, it was a land of the shadow of death, because over the children of Israel at this time, Isaiah was giving them a prophecy, and this prophecy meant judgment was coming, calamity was coming. And we spoke of the various kings and kingdoms that had attacked Judah, but it wasn't going to be over by a long stretch. So in Isaiah 5:30, this is the beginning. It says, "In that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof." And so we have in Isaiah 9:2, the people that's walking in darkness, in Isaiah 5:30, where you have, in the land, you have darkness and sorrow. And, of course, this is associated. And, of course, the light is darkened. This is referring to the day of judgment. A more locally referred at the time would be the day of the Lord, which means a time of judgment. Now, the day of the Lord can happen on various straits, locally, like it did to the children of Israel, nationally on them, but also universally when it comes upon the whole world. There is a day of the Lord coming for us. There's actually two of them, one for the nations, and there's going to be another one for the redeemed, because they're two different, and they can happen pretty much simultaneously, but they're two different results to the same coming of the Lord. One where the nations and the people that have rejected him will experience judgment, and the other where the people will experience redemption and fulfillment. And so the land in 5:30 that Isaiah reveals is one of the, as a result of the sins of apostate Judah. And it has, when you fall away from the Lord, and the scripture says those that love death hate the Lord. And when you reject his word, when you reject him, you actually hate the Lord. And that's the best way to find death, if that's what you want. And so, and it's shadow of death. it shows, you know, here that Israel will indeed experience, and here's the word specter of death. Specter is an ominous word referring to that spirit which brings death. More commonly, we see the specter of death as a figure in a darkened robe with a scythe, and inside is this entity that has bones, and he walks around black and dark and bones. And then, of course, modern movies have made him into a human, kind of fanciful, but he's evil. There's been a number of shows like that, but believe me, you do not want to face this dude. You want this dude to be put away, this enemy of ours. The sinner will die and the righteous shall see the light of salvation. Now, in the new covenant, now this is all referring to exactly what Isaiah 9:2-7 and Luke 1:76-80. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord, prepare his ways. Now this is a prophecy concerning John the Baptist, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. Now that's an interesting word, day spring, because there is the word day spring is actually, there is a whole Christian company by the name of Day Spring that puts out calendars and things. But a day spring, you know, it's kind of interesting because my grandfather had a cabin for all of us and the family. And it was up high in the mountains, and he had built it when it, you know, needed a new roof. My dad and him put on a new roof, but it had a spring by it, a clear, ice-cold spring. That's where we got all our water from. It was the best tasting cold. So when I see day spring, I see life, because I've been around springs, and so he's the day spring. He's not the night spring. He's the one that's coming because the world is in darkness, and he's the one that brings the light. That's the day spring from on high, meaning the Most High God and our Father, to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death. Now, see, whenever you're in darkness, true darkness, I'm not talking about nighttime, but for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You know, there's a lot of reasons in the world that today there is a darkness over the planet. There is a shadow of death, and there is a way. And God sent his Son to guide everybody's feet under the way of peace, and that peace was through his Son. Now, see, in the world today, the reason Christians are being persecuted more than ever is because we are in a time of lawlessness. The devil has taken up ruling and reigning. One day he will have someone on the throne. We are looking to all of this happening right now. And the nations today are in the process of rejecting Christianity. There is also the process of blood guilt that has been taking effect, which I'm going to be teaching on Friday nights now. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. When he showed up, the Pharisees and Sadducees wanted to know if he was the Messiah to come. And he said, no, I'm not. He said, who are you? And he says, I'm one, you know, with the voice of the wilderness, one in the wilderness, crying, make your path straight before the Lord. You know, so we have a magnificent prophecy here. And in Isaiah 9:3, it says, thou hast multiplied the nation. And the word there is hagoi, which we get goy. Another word is goyim. And not increase the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy of the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. And it's interesting here in this one particular one, if we look at the time of Israel, you know, when Israel was right before God, God would multiply the harvest, multiply the nation. He would bless them. But since they are in rebellion, the harvest has suffered. The nation is not multiplied or blessed as it should be. And, you know, when there is this judgment that happens to them, that is one of the biggest indignations. But when they are redeemed, when they are brought back, which Israel was brought back, and we've talked about that before, and of course we have Cyrus, who is the one appointed, who had made it possible for them to come back, given the commandment to build the temple and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which they did, but over a period of time. But see, when they came back this time, the children of Israel knew they had sinned. And God had sent Ezra the priest along with them to teach them about the law, because they had forgotten it in 70 years. But see, when they go back, you know, they're being multiplied, they're being freed. The Jewish people, though, you know, and there is an interesting note here. Another one, if you read in the Jewish Wars, you'll find where they say that after the exile, the Jewish people not only filled Judea, but also spread throughout Egypt, Syria, Mesopotamia, Asia Minor, Greece, and Italy. And that really is an interesting thing, because we talk about the scattering of the Jews. Even Israel does, when they talk about the lost tribes of Israel, which is the northern Israel. And so they were scattered among all the tribes. That's the lost tribe. But no one really spoke much about Judah, who came out of Babylon, and where they all went. And of course, here in the Jewish Wars, it says that they filled, and that's history there, that they filled a lot of other places. So there just wasn't Jews that went back to Judea, but they spread out everywhere. So today, you know, when we look around the world, what do we find? We find Jews that have been practicing their faith for centuries. So, you know, this is where we're at today. Now, of course, they do have children of Israel now in the land, but even that is tough for them all. So when you bring them back, they're going to rejoice, that's for sure. And they're going to be obedient. Now, see, in 9:4 it says, "For thou hast broken the yoke on his neck of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian." Now, the day of Midian, referring to God using Gideon to deliver Israel in Judges 7 and 8. But see, whenever we're talking about guilt, it's really interesting. Even today as Christians, when we're praying, and you're praying for deliverance, you're praying for somebody, and you're fasting and praying, there is a yoke that's on his neck, and that yoke causes a burden. And it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. And so it's interesting to see the anointing of the Lord. When God was moving here, he did deliver Israel out of the hands, eventually, of Babylon and brought them back. But see, the problem we get into when we look at Isaiah, the first part of it, is that Isaiah had rejected the Lord, had gone their own way. Now, make no mistake, the priests and the prophets and stuff were still taking care of things at the temple. They just adopted a few more gods along the way. And, you know, the thing of it is that when God blessed them, they thought they could get away with it. So they mistook God's blessing because they didn't realize exactly what they were doing, because what they ended up doing is seeking these other gods many times, seeking gods to bless their harvest and things, even offering the offerings they would give to the Lord God under their strange gods. And so God began judging. And this is what a little part when we read Isaiah, a little part of what's been going on there. But we've got the rest of the book of Isaiah to go through. So there's a lot of prophecies here. And there's a lot of prophecies in the first part of this that we can look at. And we can see relates to a lot more prophetically than just Israel. And I mean, it's referring to the Messiah. And so when 9:4 talks about, we'll see 9:3 talks about they joy before thee according to the joy and the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. And, you know, when God sends them into captivity, he brings them out of captivity. And when you're out of captivity, you are going to joy like you're dividing a spoil or something, like you found a treasure chest. And so God delivers them and he brings them out of there. But see, just like the Lord delivered Israel out of Egypt in Leviticus 26:3, he says, I'm the Lord your God, that word Lord of Yahweh, or Jehovah, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. They're no longer bent over in slavery, and they were free men. And that's important. In Isaiah 47:5-6, we're yet to get there. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans. This is a prophecy on Babylon. For thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. It's interesting to note that the same verbiage pretty much we find in Revelation 18 concerning Mystery Babylon. But Mystery Babylon indeed is more of a mystery than the Chaldeans. Mystery Babylon is a mystery. That's why it's called that. And she is not like the Chaldeans. Mystery Babylon is a lot bigger, a lot more powerful, a lot richer, and you know, if you measured wickedness, would be a lot more wicked, or much more wicked. So you wouldn't be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted my inheritance and given them into thy hand, and you did show them no mercy. And upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. So they, you know, instead of taking them captive and, you know, kind of treating them nice, they really put them into bondage. And so Israel gets delivered from them, and Babylon gets judged. And in Isaiah 9:5, we go even further in this description, talking about you know, the judgment that Israel's facing and everything that's going on. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And what this describes is the battlefield. And you have, of course, you have a lot of noise going on. Your garments are filled with blood because of the bloodshed that's going on. And you have the fierceness of the fight being described with burning and fuel of fire. And so you have all this going on. Well, when you're said and done, you're going to have a lot of bodies. You're going to have a lot of swords and everything else. And what do you do with all that? You burn it, put it to the flame. You burn it and get it out of there. So, you know, matter of fact, when we get into Revelation, we look at some of the judgments. It talks about burying the dead for a long time. And so we see the extent, even in these last days, the amount of conflict and bloodshed and the horrific end that is going to come to this nation, this world at that time. But see, the tone changes in Isaiah 9:6. The others circles around the judgment of Israel and the one who they were wound up going into and being subjected to, and also the battle and everything that that goes on. But, you know, during the time of all this going on, God did deliver Israel. He did deliver Judah, but there was some terrible fights. People were killed. But it wasn't really until Jeremiah and after his ministry of prophecy, warning Judah that the children of Israel were officially taken captive into Babylon. But, you know, many times we see God sending judgment, and then they cried, and God hears and sends someone to deliver them. They get delivered, they follow God for a while, then they fall away, and then the process repeats. And that's pretty much, when we talk about Israel, what happened there. Because when we get at the end of the reign of Solomon, that's when the house of Israel was divided because of sin. And it was that was the zenith of the reign of Israel. They've never been back there since. Israel to this day is looking for another rule like Solomon. Because many people see in prophecy, especially the Jews, when they look at a rule of the reign, they see someone like unto Solomon. Like Solomon was the type for the coming Messiah that they're looking for, and Israel be brought up to the forefront of the nations, and the Gentiles will be saved. So there's a lot of things that that is involved in that. But when we get to Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." That word wonderful means miracle or marvelous. His name, Counselor, which is advice to resolve. And he resolves your sins. The mighty, Gibor, powerful. So he's going to come, he's part of that almighty, omnipotent God. This refers to Almighty God, the Everlasting Father. This is the Father in the literal and also an immediate presence as the Father. The Prince, meaning head or Lord of Peace, that's Shalom. So when you say Shalom, that literally means peace with God and peace with each other. So you have the peace going upward to the Father. That peace you join with him through Christ, and then transversely to people around you, you have peace. So, I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work. But the Lord, frankly, said that in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I will become the world. So we do see this, but see this verse here, Isaiah 9:6, is one the church has been during Christmas, during, you know, any time, Easter. Anytime you're talking about Christ, this is a Christ prophecy. This is what we see. And this is telling Israel, Isaiah is speaking of the time when this Messiah would come. And 9:7, it says of the increase of his government or the greatness of his empire and peace, that this refers to unlimited reign full of unlimited peace. That's what it means when we talk about his kingdom, because we'll be in unlimited peace in an unlimited reign of unlimited peace. I mean, what, how, you know, it can't get any better than that. Unlimited reign, unlimited peace, unlimited joy, unlimited. And there will be no end upon the throne of David. Now, this is from the Hebrews 17:30, meaning beloved of the Father. And that's what that refers to. The youngest son of Jesse, as David was beloved of his father, so this one coming would be beloved of his father. And upon his kingdom or dominion, to order it, that is to stand, set up, to establish. This particular kingdom in moral virtue, that's what it means when we talk about to order it and to establish it. It's going to be a perfect kingdom of moral virtue and righteousness. With judgment and justice from henceforth forever, or as far as long or as until, in other words, forever and ever. And it says the zeal or the envy or the jealousy. Now, this is not a man's jealousy or envy. This is something that he is purposed to do for righteousness' sake, to bring in a world and a kingdom forever of unlimited peace, unlimited reign, full of righteousness and moral virtue, which will be established forever with judgment and justice, and he will see to it that it is done. And a righteous kingdom and the virtuous people of the Lord. That's all connected. A virtuous people of the Lord, of hosts, who will perform this. Now, when you're reading these scriptures, if you're just a regular Christian believer or even a messianic believer, we see the Messiah in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Israel reached its peak under David the warrior king, who defeated the enemies, and it rose further under the peoples under Solomon when he built the temple, and you know everybody would come to him, but his heart departed from the Lord, and the kingdom was divided. And so when we see this kind of a prince of peace, the only one we can relate to it in Israel from the scripture, as far as Israel goes in the past, would be Solomon. But it's also directly related to David, because it says upon the throne of David, which Solomon was connected to David, but it goes even further than that, because it goes, of course, through Judah. And he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, he's the root of David. And so we see this kingdom. Now, see, it's interesting that when we look at the kingdom, this is a kingdom that just didn't appear. This is not a kingdom that God was just sitting around saying, well, you know, I think it'd be good if we started a kingdom. God had this plan. He always planned to restore his people. He always planned to have his tabernacle with us and in us. Today, as Christian believers, we are the temple of God. He lives inside of us. But one day, not only will we have his spirit within us, we'll be redeemed in a new body, a body not of clay, but a perfect body. And we will be in that heaven, actually on the earth, the Lord's presence and his temple will be here with us, the heavenly Jerusalem. So in Daniel 7:13, I really like this one here. Daniel says, I saw the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Now see, they're bringing the Lord. This is the Son of God in the Old Testament, okay? And many of the appearances that we see of God on earth, we find that was the Son of God in his form and his purpose, because he had glory with the Father before he came to earth and emptied his son. And so they brought him near, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. That's interesting, because Daniel's given visions of other kingdoms. But the one that stands out to me, you know, of course, is not the Greek Empire, you know, Antiochus. And it's not all the others, or even the Roman Empire. It is this kingdom here, because this is the Lord's kingdom, and this one has yet to be established. Now, see, when we look at prophecy, though, and when we consider this, when the Lord came, he set up his kingdom here on earth through us as the church. But we are not the full perfected church yet. We are operating by faith here within the guidelines of his word. So we're not perfected yet, but there's a bunch of teaching that the Lord can't come until the church has dominion over the world and rules and reigns here on earth and prepares and welcomes the Lord back. Because, now see, the thing that is that when we look at what's coming, the Lord feeds the earth judgments of blood because they have killed the saints and the apostles and prophets. That is the judgment of blood guilt, which I teach a lot on. So here we see that in Isaiah's very in-depth descriptions, which we find the Messiah, he also is dealing with a backslidden Israel. And the message to Israel is, your God is going to do a great thing. And when Christ came, he went to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. Paul devotes Romans 11 to the redemption of the Jews. And so it's an amazing process here. And in Isaiah 9:8, the Lord, here Adonai, it's not Yahweh, and this is specific to Israel, sent a word into Jacob, and it has lighted upon Israel. Now, of course, when we look at the Lord, Adonai, the proper name of God, my Lord, addresses Israel as a personal Lord of the backslidden state of Israel. And he did send the word of the Jacob. And it says, all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart. Now see, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, they're the ones that attacked Judah. And, of course, Ephraim is going to suffer. Israel suffered itself too, Judah rather, and the northern tribes, all of them did. But Isaiah 9:10 is really the one where we have seen a number of people come out with it. A couple of years ago, a messianic preacher was talking about this. Isaiah 9:10, the bricks have fallen down, but we will build the hewn stones. The sycamores were cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Now that's simply saying that in, you know, you can judge us, but we're going to rebuild. If our walls and the bricks we have are falling down, we will make new ones. And we will hew the stones. That is, if they find, well, here, they take an assumption that they can find a place to hew the stones from. When we're talking about hewn stones, think of Egypt and the pyramids. They had to hew all those great big monstrous stones to put up the pyramid. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. And it's interesting to note that, you know, the devastation you see here, but they are going to repair all the things that have been caused as a result of judgment. And it's standing up in pride instead of repenting and saying, hey, you know, we're going to rebuild, we're going to plant more trees, and our kingdom's going to be greater than it was before. Now, Albert Barnes says it this way: the confession of the inhabitants of Samaria that their affairs were in a ruinous and dilapidated state, but also their self-confident assurance that they would be able to repair the evils, restore their nation to more than their former magnificence. Now, see, that's the way man is. No matter how a nation is, you know, they never want to talk about sins on a national level. They don't want to admit to the affairs of state. They want everybody to think everything's fine. But there comes a time when things are not fine. There comes a time when you cannot rebuild anymore. But, you know, this Isaiah 9:10 was actually likened to 9/11, when we were going to put more trees back in the spot where 9/11 occurred, and we're going to put a great big erected monument, but yet we don't repent. And the whole issue with talking about America in this the people that had covered Isaiah 9 in this judgment is saying that America is rebuilding, to say everything's fine, in an effort to make this state show like it's the way it always was, that it's not as sinful as it is. But if you trace since 9/11, you can see the immorality since 9/11 has gotten worse instead of better. And the only respite that we've had is Trump. His efforts to bring the economy and his efforts to do other things have, for the most part, been pretty good for the nation. But the thing is that the Democrats, even Hollywood, I call him Hollywood, and many others, hate his guts. And all he does is love America and want to make it great. But you see, the thing here is that ever since 9/11, and it's interesting to note here that we're talking about 9/11, an event. Well, see, in Isaiah 9:10, that's where we find the bricks falling down, and they're going to rebuild. They're going to rebuild the walls. They're going to rebuild, replant cedars. Okay, that's 9:10. That's before 9/11. But see, in 9/11, it says, therefore, the Lord, meaning Yahweh, shall set up the adversaries of Rezin, that's the princes of Syria, the king of Syria, against him, that is Israel, or Ephraim here, and join his enemies together. He will mix all of the enemies against Ephraim and gather them together into a wild, agitated flood, and they will go into the land to devour Ephraim. Now, do you get what I'm trying to tell you here? This is Isaiah 9:11. 9/11 for America happened on, you got it, 9/11. Is this coincidence? Well, I find it interesting because 9:10, it tells us what happened. And a day later, 9/11, we find out the Lord's now going to set up the adversaries. Now, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are going to be adversaries of America. And I'm going to tell you right now that it's going to be Russia and it's going to be China. And when we look at the fact that the armies of the East are going to move, when we look at Revelation, we could easily see North Korea, we could see South Korea, we could see China, we could see even India and a few other Asian countries, all part of those armies of the East moving towards Israel. So, and when those armies of the East move, we're going to see, I think it is a third of mankind get killed. And you could look and you'll find out here that, I mean, I believe there's going to be one magnificently horrendous blaze of rockets that's going to kill a third of mankind at the time. So, I mean, Isaiah 9:10 and 9:11, they're not to be bandied about, you know, and mocked, because the principle is this, folks. If God does this, has done this with Israel, he will do it again. He is a God of justice. He has blessed America, but there's also other wicked nations. And I agree with you, there is. But you can look at North Korea. Yes, it's a wicked nation. Yes, Christians, one of the worst persecuted groups, but they never had a covenant with the Lord. There was never people in the beginning like it was here. There were people that came here because of persecution for their faith. They came here and they sought God and asked his blessing on the land. Now, you may not like that, but that's the way it was. It wasn't Muslims here making this a great nation. Christians were here. And you might say, well, there was Indians here. Yeah, the Indians were here. That's right. And guess what? They were killing one another. They were attacking one another. And you look here at the Black Hills, and we talk about the Sioux, considering the Black Hills being holy. Well, the Sioux ran another tribe out of there long before they, you know, before they ever really had it. So make no mistake, this continent was here and there was people here, but many of those people were living and conquering and making war. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that we're talking about today, we're talking about a nation, and even now as I speak, you can look at all this stuff in our nation's capital and how divisive it is. And, you know, you have people that want to make it socialist and want to make it this and want to make it that. See, these are all enemies. The enemies of God get in. It's an absolute fact. In when we look in the Old Testament, it's an absolute fact. Whenever Israel sinned against God, the enemies entered in. And if America has enemies entering in and it looks like a flood, then you can be guaranteed 9 times out of 10, and even 10 out of 10, the sins of America has opened up a floodgate for her enemies. Now, so we've already had the bricks falling down. We've already rebuilt the bricks into the statues. We've already put the trees back up. We've already said everything's going to be fine. We're going to proceed as normal. And ever since 9/11, we have fallen away from righteousness. And the things we are doing today is absolutely the worst amount of filth a nation can ever get into. And we have people that look themselves in the mirror and say, it's all right. It is not all right. Your sins are not all right. What you do is not all right. How you corrupt your children is not all right. How you're killing babies right out of the womb when a woman has her baby is not all right. It is not all right, doctors. It is not all right, lawyers. It is not all right, Democrats and Republicans. These things are not all right. Now, you may think you're a nation unto yourself, but you're not a nation unto yourself, and God will hold you accountable. And so we're not done there either, because in 9:12 it says the Syrians, who were the former allies of Israel, and the Philistines, who run along the southwest border of Samaria, and behind, they will devour Israel with an open mouth. Now, see, that's exactly what Babylon did. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Of course, Israel continues to be unrepentant. Now, whenever you see anything that says his hand is stretched out still, that's a term you better pay attention to. Because, especially in the Old Testament, these are terms relating. It's like you're swatting a fly. And, well, you don't want God's hand stretched out to strike. Unless you have some secret formula somewhere. But then I would say forget it. The only formula that's going to help you is repentance. And that's, and believe it or not, you know, we're in the New Testament era now, the New Covenant, and for Christians, Peter told us that judgment will begin at the house of God. Then if we who are saved scarcely survive, what were the sinners and the ungodly stand? There's a hint, okay? There's a hint to the church in America. There's a hint to America itself. God is not done. And you think that his eyes are closed to this filth going on in this country? Do you think you can just do this and just turn away and say, no, no, no? Yeah, but hey, you will find out. So here we see Israel, and here it's all of Israel, both the houses. So you have Ephraim, the northern tribes would be swallowed up, and Judah would be swallowed up by the Philistines. And of course, the judgment of God continues because they don't repent. 9:13 says, for the people turn not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel the head and the tail, the branch and rush in one day. You know, how much suffering, how much judgment do you take? Now, see, the big problem we have today, and that is Israel was a theocracy. God at the head, then you had the prophet, then you had the priest. You know, and the rest. And of course, they would go to the king. And if he had a righteous king, Israel was in good shape. But most of the time, the people followed what the leadership did. And if they were a leadership like, Jezebel and her old man, then they were in trouble. Now, so God strikes them. Scripture says, as many as the Lord loveth, he rebukes and chastens. Paul spends time teaching on the fact that our God deals with us as a father. You know, and he will, in a nice term, spank us. You know, get us back to where we need to be. And Paul says, you can reject that. And if you do, then you're a bastard and you're not a son. That's the word that says in Scripture, you're a bastard, not a son. Well, see, we don't like the word bastard today. In my time growing up, the word bastard meant a number of things. I'm not going to go into it now, but I can tell you that today, in America today, I ask myself how many bastard churches are there out there that think they know the Lord and the glory is departed from the house because of the things they do and the fornication and stuff they do. Just like the glory departed from Shiloh, the glory will depart from these Gentile houses of God, because in their hearts they've fallen away from the Lord, and they have touched the unclean thing, and they continue to pursue it. Make no mistake, this God will not be mocked. And so the people does not turn. That's not surprising. Look today. Look at America. For all the churches and everything we else have, you know. But if you look around the world, look at how many how many nations now are persecuting Christians? How many other religions are standing up persecuting Christians? And you see the whole world turning upside down to reject Christianity. This is a sign of the times. This is one of the main signs we're coming to the end. And it could go on for quite a while, but it's going to get worse. And so, therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel the head, the tail, the branch, and the rush in one day. In other words, there ain't going to be anybody left. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head, the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. Well, how can you know the truth if the prophet won't tell you the truth? The prophet won't tell you the truth because he doesn't know the truth. He's a false prophet. Now, see, he goes through the motions, but he doesn't know the Lord. The Lord never appointed him. The Lord never gave him the visions or nothing else. This is one of the things we find in the Old Testament in God dealing with Israel. They had a lot of false prophets. It's easy to be a prophet. It's easy to stand up and say all these things. The bottom line of it is, does God know you? Yeah, we know you call yourself a prophet, but does God know you? I never knew them, he said. For the leaders of this people caused them to err. They that are led of them are destroyed. So here is where we find the problem. And you can, in a country, I don't care which country you're in, look to the leaders. If there's problems, that's where it comes from. Now, if you have a newly elected leader, that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about the people behind the state of head, the head of state, the one who's just up there to look nice. But in Israel, it was a theocracy, so the one at the head, he had to say so. And sometimes those leaders led him into a long theocratic relationship, like Baal, you know, I mean, into another god to worship. And it says in 9:17, of course, this is a horrendous judgment. Therefore, the Lord shall have no joy in the young men. Neither shall he have mercy on their fatherless and the widow. For everyone is a hypocrite or a deceiver and an evildoer, meaning defiled. And every mouth speaketh folly or foolishness, moral wickedness, vileness. I'll tell you, I can spend some time here. Moral wickedness and vile. Folly, stupid stuff, things that we're talking about. There are plenty of examples here in our society right now that would fall into this. And I can tell you, a lot of people that are doing it are children who've been led astray, our young kids and young adults who have been mistaught in the school system for generations. Of course, we kicked out God out of the school system a long time ago. And there are a lot of states who work to remove God. Not too long ago, it was on this veterans thing that they removed the word God. It was a city, I think it was. Removed the word God from the monument. So you have all this. And what kind of a nation is it that, you know, we had in God we trust on our coins, and they want to remove that? Well, it doesn't matter because we don't trust in God. Today we trust in flesh. We trust in our own power. We think we can do anything we want. We have sciences that teach us that we can change a boy into a girl and a girl into a boy. We have the ability to take animals and make them look like humans. We can take our technology and stuff and we can levitate. We can do a lot of things through our science. But science without God is paganism and idolatry. But you give me a godly astronomer that believes in the Lord God, and he will show you God in everything. there's not going to be any joy. The young men are going to get taken down. The fathers and the widow, no, they're not going to be saved. See, if you look back in the Torah, you're going to find out the Lord wanted Israel to have mercy on the fatherless and the widows. That was one of the things they were to do. But God is going to destroy because of the wickedness and the evil. Now, one of the things and the purposes here is redemption. If you're trying to save a crop, you destroy the stuff that is bad. If it has some kind of a disease, whether it's trees or crops, you've got to destroy and burn the trees or the crops in order to save something left. And in Israel, they had so fallen away that God will end up sending them into judgment and captivity for 70 years. And their remnant will come back rejoicing. And when we see earlier, we're talking about remnant. When we talked about all of that, you know, God did bring them back. And they were happy. They did that because they made it through the judgment. God was returning them to the land. Now, see, Israel is still suffering from that today. They're still mocked for that. And it was done before the whole world. Israel has mourned, paid for its sins. However, the nations of men have not paid for their sins. Not yet. In Isaiah 9:18, for wickedness burns as a fire, it shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting of a smoke. So you have the wickedness within a nation, and it flames up in fury and passion. And it devours the population like a forest fire. And then it begins to destroy the nation. And when it's done, all you see is smoke curling up. Remember 9/11? We can see the smoke. That's what happens with the nation. You look at Revelation 18, if people stand far off and saw the smoke rising. It's a tough thing to talk about. But see, in Isaiah, don't forget, in this judgment, we see mercy. In these sections here that we're talking about judgment and wickedness, you find some of the greatest passages of the coming Messiah. Our focus in this, yes, there's wickedness. Yes, this could happen to America. And we have filter. But there is within the possibility and range in America and the nations to repent. God is waiting for the nations to repent. Christ came so that you could repent. So you could find redemption and forgiveness. So 9:19, through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. Now when you're in the midst of judgment and the whole nation is going to hell because of judgment, you have an invading army, you have rape and pillaging going on. Even if the sun is shining, it'll be darkened by the fires and the smoke. The fires will be seen at night and the smoke will be smelled. The bodies will be laying in their stink and the bugs will be eating them and there will be plagues. famine and every evil thing. And the land will be given over to judgment and darkness as night comes, which shall see no light. There will be no recourse. There will be no place to go. Now see, that's not where you want to be. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened. The people should be as fuel of fire, and no man shall spare his brother. That's a sad shape of affairs. But we're seeing today, you know, look at American society. We are individual. Today, I'll tell you, people care about themselves. They're very, very personal. That's why the selfie is so popular. Because it's about self all the time. About self. It's about me. It's about where I live. It's about what I do. It's about all this. And see, the internet has really enabled that thing to happen. And that's the sad thing. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied, and they shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Of course, this relates to cannibalism. But there are judgments in the Torah about cannibalism and Israel falling away. And there are real, true historical stories about this. And if you look in history, you're going to see man isn't above eating another man to stay alive. When you're starving to death and you're facing death, you'll do anything. Manasseh and Ephraim, Ephraim and Manasseh, those are the two brothers. The sons of Joseph, Manasseh was the oldest, Ephraim was the youngest, and through Ephraim that the blessings flowed. And they will go against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out soon. Now see, in this particular verse, it talks about Manasseh and Ephraim, who were united, but they will end up warring against each other, and then they'll join forces to attack Israel, which reminds me of that old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That is, until I don't need him anymore, and then I'll kill him too. You see, all of these things in Isaiah here, when we look at this, this is not, you can describe this as the day of the Lord, but the Lord's judgment happens. This is not a place you want to be. And that's why when we look in the midst of death, it's so amazing that in the middle of this judgment, God chose to put some of the greatest passages that we have concerning the Messiah. And so it's into this that we need to remember the Lord came to bring mercy, but in the end, he will judge all those who reject him. That's the new covenant. Yes, God sent his son so that all men would repent, but all men won't repent. They won't come to the light. You can read that in the context following John 3:16. So you either receive him as your savior or face him as your judge. And that relates directly to the passages we read. Israel was either to accept the Lord God as their Savior, their Lord, and follow his ways, or they would be judged by him and they would die. It was their choice. God even tells them, choose you this day life or death. Who are you going to serve? Israel was challenged. So at any rate, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, bless your people as they hear this. Watch over them, Father. And bless them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, the powers of darkness, from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Tower. Okay, now we're going to be at Isaiah chapter 10 next time.
Okay, I'm finally back.
I noticed
that. I mute everything.
Well, your thing says hold time 00, so I don't know what that is about. But at any rate, we got a couple of minutes left.
I think it's scary, you know, the his hand is stretched out still, and you think about judgment first begins at the house of God. You think of the churches. You don't think of yourself, but it is yourself. And it's scary.
Well, I'll tell you what it reminds me of. My dad, when he'd spank me with his white belt, he says, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." I could never figure that out. But I'll tell you one thing about it. I didn't want his hand stretched out still with that belt.
Yeah, that's right.
You may not be the smartest kid on the block, but there's one thing you understand is when your butt hurts and there's a belt applied, you know. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
The problem with America and the world is they don't realize that. And so, at any rate, the good point, there are some good verses there about the Messiah and about our hope today. You don't need to.
Yes, amen.
You can come to the Lord today. He can be your God, your hope, your Savior. Come to Him today. John chapter 1, he went to his own and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John chapter 3 says you must be born again in the Spirit. 1 John 1 says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Romans 3 through about Romans 7 will tell you about repentance, not confession of sin. You can read these scriptures, but receive him, look to him, and walk in his life, walk as he would walk, and seek his face. Because this God wants to give you mercy. And with that, we're going to have to go, Talon.
Amen. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Whenever you do, God bless you richly. Look to Him. Stand on the solid rock of Christ. We love you. We pray for you. We truly care about you. Good night, everybody.
Shalom, everybody. Don't forget to visit warren-usa.com and danaglensmith.com. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.